Good afternoon, 4:30 and 70 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
With all of that, you know, persons who are fair-minded would have a hard time rejecting the health and welfare argument, and that's what carried the day.
Former Ashland Mayor David Welch led the fight to pass the city's public smoking ban 10 years ago. He died over the weekend. We'll have a remembrance on our feature story this afternoon.
Kentucky State Police investigate a homicide in Powell County.
And Governor Bevin says the state's highway workers will soon get a pay raise.
In sports, Monday Night Football features a classic old-school matchup. It's the Vikings versus the Bears.
But Luke has the stocks.
Weather tonight's going to be cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast after this news.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a murder in Powell County. Trooper Joe Veneman says officials at the Moorhead Post received a call around 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
We were contacted and advised that there was a vehicle that had been found located in the middle of the roadway at 85 Mountain Springs Road, which is approximately 6 or 7 miles south of Clay City. And upon troopers' arrivals, it was determined that there was a victim in the car by the name of David L. Rogers from Ravenna, Kentucky, and he was located deceased in the vehicle and he died from an apparent gunshot wound.
Rogers reportedly died when a bullet went through the windshield of his car and struck him in the face. Veneman says details of the incident remain uncertain as troopers are still in the early stages of their probe.
Ashland's police chief says the 24-year-old Ohio man charged in the murder 2 weeks ago of an Ashland resident did not initially admit to the killing. Todd Kelly says Jacob Lane of Franklin Furnace was first questioned on burglary charges following a break-in at the home of 21-year-old Justin Reeder, who was missing at the time. However, Kelly says, after police received information that Reeder had been killed, Lane was interviewed a second time.
During the interview, Lane did admit that he, in fact, had killed Justin Reeder. The event occurred on Sunday, October 16th at about 7:30 p.m. It occurred in about approximately area of 29th Street in the 1100 block here in Ashland.
Lane faces a preliminary hearing on murder and burglary charges in Boyd County Circuit Court early next month.
The Ashland-Boyd County Emergency Management Agency is one of the few in Kentucky that has search and rescue dogs to help find missing persons and assist in other investigations. That's according to its director, Tim England. He says his office has two bloodhounds, and one of them was able to help Ashland police locate a murder victim in a rural area of southern Ohio last week.
We just had her out during the investigation the APD was using. We were out with them. They've been used on some other burglary and robbery cases in the county. Lucy was out looking for the suspect. So, they're a very valuable tool.
England says the dogs are used during investigations two or three times a month. However, he says they train every week to keep them sharp.
Kentucky State Police are looking for an inmate from the Three Forks Regional Detention Center who escaped Friday morning while on work release. 42-year-old Billy Shepard was assigned to work in Wolf County, but during the course of the day, he fled the area and has yet to be located. Shepard is a white male. He stands at 5 feet 7 inches tall, weighs 140 pounds, and has blue eyes and brown hair. Anyone with information regarding his whereabouts is asked to contact the Moorhead Post of the KSP.
A woman faces a long list of charges after an alleged drunk driving crash killed a Louisville police officer and a University of Kentucky employee in Lexington over the weekend. Here is KNN's Haley Hansen.
Suzanne Whitlow is being charged with two counts of second-degree manslaughter for the deaths of LMPD Detective Jason Schweitzer and Timothy Moore early Saturday morning. A review of her criminal history shows Whitlow had been arrested for DUI in 2014 and was arrested again earlier this year for not completing her DUI courses. After spending 90 days in jail, she completed the course in September and was able to get her license back in early October. Whitlow remains in the hospital recovering from her injuries. I'm Haley Hansen.
More than 26,000 people are now locked up in Kentucky state prisons, and that's more than ever before. That's what Deputy State Budget Director Janice Thomas told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort last week. Despite criminal justice reforms intended to reduce the inmate population, Thomas says it has grown by nearly 5,600 since 2006 and will rise again next year too, and that means higher costs as well. The state will also incur additional expenses, she says, for design fees for new local jails in Rowan, Oldham, Laurel, and Knox counties.
Local correctional facility design fees, this is something relatively new, and there was a recent lawsuit by Rowan County. Any new jail, if it was approved by the local correctional facilities construction authority on or before January 1, it's deemed necessary governmental expense. So we have four counties with new jails.
Thomas says Kentucky's current prison population is 1,600 more than projected.
Moorhead's mayor says something has to be done very soon about the city fire department's aging ladder truck. MFD Chief Jeff Anderson applied for U.S. Department of Homeland Security grants to replace the vehicle in each of the last 3 years, but to no avail. According to Jim Tom Trent, the city can't wait much longer to find the $900,000 to $1 million needed for a new truck.
That's a crazy amount to think about, but we've had that truck for 30-some years, and they've done a great job of keeping that truck up. I mean, it's clean, they maintain it regularly, but some of the stuff is becoming obsolete, some of the hydraulics, those type of things, and we never want to have put our firefighters who are risking their lives as volunteers in an unsafe situation.
Trent says he'll likely speak to officials from Rowan County and Moorhead State University to see if they might be willing to help with the funding for a new ladder truck. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins has said he's willing to consider that.
Governor Matt Bevin announced this afternoon that about 2,600 Kentucky highway workers will soon be getting pay raises. The Republican says many of the employees have not had an hourly increase for 10 years.
The cost of this will be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $24 million a year. That's a significant sum of money.
About $320 an hour on average is what we'll be adjusting the pay increases.
Bevin says the money will not come from the state's general fund, but from a reallocation of money within the transportation budget. He says the transportation cabinet has an annual worker turnover of about 13%. Bevin says better pay will help keep good employees and reduce training costs.
A plan to convert the old Techno Trim building on Progress Way in Maysville will bring more than 150 new jobs to the city. The sale of the property was approved last Friday for $750,000 to Miami Valley Digital. The plant will manufacture products for the auto and medical industries. Maysville Mayor David Cartmell says the new MACA Plastics facility marks further progress in Kentucky's industrial development.
Kentucky is, I think, now the second largest producer of autos in the United States, and so there has to be some benefit for a small community like ours. I mean, we're just tickled to have another company here. You know, it's like a town like us, you lose tobacco and you lose coal, and all of a sudden you gain autos. Maybe there is a silver lining there.
Cartmell says the plant will begin hiring employees around the middle of next month.
Renovations at Fleming County High School are right on schedule. That's according to Fleming County Schools Superintendent Bryant Kreisman. The $15 million construction project will include an upgraded gymnasium, new cafeteria, additional parking, and classroom improvements. Kreisman says after the renovations, the high school will continue to be the center of the community for educational experiences.
Worked really hard to make sure that the high school continues to be the center of the community, to be the face of the community, that we want parents in the community to utilize the building as much as possible. And with the renovations, it will continue that usage of the building for decades to come.
The construction began in May and is expected to be completed in June of 2018.
Budgetary pressures are forcing Moorhead State University to consider outsourcing some work at the school. So says the university's chief financial officer, Beth Patrick, says MSU doesn't want to do that because it's usually not beneficial for the employees or Kentucky's retirement systems.
It's maybe the only alternative we have to being able to get the services done, but unfortunately that's not good for the Commonwealth or the retirement systems because we have fewer people paying into them and we have fewer people employed with benefits because oftentimes, even though the same people get employed by the outsourced contractor, they're employed with benefits that won't serve them as a citizen the way the retirement system does that's funded by the state.
Patrick told the General Assembly's Interim Joint Appropriations and Revenue Committee in Frankfurt last week that nearly half of the money MSU receives from the legislature is going for fixed expenses, like retirement and building maintenance.
The cleanup of a Mount Sterling neighborhood of soil contaminated by arsenic is expected to be completed before Christmas. According to the Mount Sterling Advocate, the Kentucky Department for Environmental Protection has set a target of December 24th for work to be finished on the projects adjoining, on the properties adjoining Long Lane. Spokesman John Murrah says the project is ahead of schedule. The homeowners on that street were evacuated in September so trucks could haul away the dirt contaminated by the operation of the former Southern Wood Treatment Company. PECO Incorporated is conducting the cleanup. Some of the soil is being taken to the local Rumkey landfill, while dirt with higher concentrations of arsenic is being hauled to an Indiana dump, which accepts hazardous waste.
The city of Ironton is considering a crackdown on recreational vehicles that are parked in public areas. The Ironton Tribune reports that Police Captain Pam Wagner told City Council last Thursday that she counted 49 vehicles, including boats, trailers, and campers parked on city streets, alleyways, and across sidewalks. Council plans to hold three readings on a proposed ordinance to impose penalties on the owners. Members are asking people with concerns about the issue to attend the next council meeting on November the 10th.
State Auditor Mike Harmon has an update on some progress in some high-profile audits currently underway. Tom Latek has details.
One of them involves the Kentucky Horse Park. When asked about when that might wrap up,
we don't have a defined time frame, but I would think probably the next couple of months we should be able to have that.
Another is the University of Louisville Foundation. Harmon says that should be released sometime between late November and mid-December. He also says he has a great working relationship with Attorney General Andy Beshear, despite examining some agencies of his father, former Governor Steve Beshear. I'm Tom Latek.
A Florida-based company has purchased the former Brown County Hospital in Georgetown and will reopen it as a behavioral health facility treating drug addiction and mental health problems. The Brown County Press is reporting that Oglethorpe Incorporated of Tampa is buying the structure for $1.2 million. The hospital was closed in late 2014 by Southwest Regional Medical Center. Oglethorpe is said to have plans to renovate the building as a 60 to 100-bed recovery center. It would employ up to 250 people with a payroll of about $12 million annually.
A longtime supporter of St. Clair Regional Medical Center, who died in the spring, has left a significant portion of her estate to the Moorhead Hospital. Tom Lewis is the executive director for the SCR Foundation. Lewis says in her will, former Moorhead State University professor Rose Orlick gave the hospital a significant amount of cash along with the deed to her home on Knapp Avenue. According to Lewis, the total value of Orlick's gifts comes to over $200,000, which he says will help St. Clair do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Rose served for nearly two decades as a church lector at Jesus Our Savior Catholic Church, and her faith was such an integral part of Rose's life, and it really means a lot to know that she saw St. Clair not only as worthy, but I guess an appropriate recipient, and in a way that we will continue to carry on the Christian ministry that was so important to her.
Lewis says St. Clair will likely sell the Orlick home. Orlick was a member of MSU's English faculty for 22 years and also published two books of poetry.
Kentuckians looking to buy health insurance must go through the federal government this week. Open enrollment begins tomorrow for health plans on the federal marketplace, healthcare.gov. It replaces the state exchange, Connect. Governor Bevin dismantled Connect, saying it was too costly to operate. Doug Hogan is a spokesman for the Cabinet for Health and Family Services. He says thousands of Kentuckians currently have a health plan purchased on the exchange.
Healthcare.gov, we think, will be serving around 84,000 people. That's how many people currently have qualified health plans in the exchange right now. So we think that's the number of people impacted.
The Bevin administration expects a smooth transition, saying the state and federal exchanges are just different doors in which to buy health coverage.
Kentucky Power has named a new external affairs manager. MSPR's Courtney Howell has more.
President and CEO of the Southeast Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, Jacob Colley, has been named Kentucky Power's newest external affairs manager. Colley's role with Kentucky Power will include legislative, environmental, and economic development. He has 8 years of experience in strategic planning, government relations, business advocacy, economic development, event and program management, as well as marketing and sales. Kentucky Power provides service to nearly 169,000 customers in 20 eastern Kentucky counties. Colley will be based in Pikeville starting November 7th. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Courtney Howe.
Taking a look at your weather forecast, tonight's going to be mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. Tuesday will be warm and mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Tuesday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 50s. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with highs in the lower 80s. And Thursday will be mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of rain, highs in the upper 60s. Temperatures for the surrounding area, it's 64 degrees in Ashland, 67 in Flemingsburg, 68 degrees in Inez, 72 in Lexington, and it is 70 degrees in Winchester, and it is currently 70 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Former Ashland Mayor David Welsh died over the weekend. He was 82 and had served as the community's top elected official from 1976 to 1980. Welsh had a law practice at Ashland for nearly six decades. He was a graduate of the Harvard Law School and Berea College. 10 years ago, he was the leader of an effort that persuaded Ashland commissioners to become one of the first cities in Kentucky to adopt a public smoking ban. On August 24th, 2006, I spoke to him about that initiative.
I'm really proud of it because every community that I know that's had this has ended up in a major fight about it, in a split vote. And we took the time to get it done, and I think the enforcement will be that much easier because of that.
There was some public pressure put on them to water down the ordinance. Did you think they would do that?
I didn't think so. There was talk about changing the private club portion of it, and it really wasn't discussed much. The private clubs are not exempt if they're having public meetings, so they're governed. If you talk about what they do in private, and the setup is they have to be an IRS-approved corporation, and for nonprofit, I would like to cover bartenders in a private club where there's a lot of smoking, but the enforcement of that would be nigh on to impossible. So you have to give and take a little bit. The other part about outdoors, and that was the council's call. They thought that summer motion, that where you have seating areas, it should be clear where you go to ball games, little league games, you shouldn't be having to sit there and endure the smoke. But you can walk another 20 feet and have your smoke without any trouble. I was pleased with that. This idea that should be put to a vote. And I was waiting for the Corporation Council to explain that that's not possible in Kentucky. But our local newspaper, even as late as this morning, said maybe it ought to be put to a vote. And I wish they had looked at and recognized that couldn't be done. More importantly, it wasn't the right thing for the commissioners to have done, as I told them, having been elected to say, well, we'll push this one off for a vote and take the easy ones. So it worked out well.
The no-smoking ordinance, championed by the former Ashland Mayor David Welsh, was approved that night by a unanimous vote. He'll be remembered during a 7 p.m. service this Thursday at the Central Avenue Chapel of the Steen Funeral Home. It is 4:49. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock, and we'll have sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Art Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Monday night matchup. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. Monday Night Football will feature a showdown of two longtime NFC North rivals. Kenzie Thompson reports.
After absorbing their first loss of the season, the 5-1 Minnesota Vikings will look to bounce back as they visit the 1-6 Chicago Bears. The Vikings will challenge the Bears with the NFL's top-rated defense. They also rank first with 16 takeaways, including 9 interceptions and 7 fumble recoveries. However, Minnesota also ranks last in the league in total offense. Chicago hopes to get a lift from the return of quarterback Jay Cutler, who missed the last 6 games because of a sprained thumb on his throwing hand. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
This year's World Series will end in November. The Chicago Cubs staved off elimination with a Game 5 3-2 win last night over the Indians. With Game 6 scheduled for tomorrow night at Cleveland's Progressive Field, Cubs manager Joe Maddon is hoping his ball club can do it again.
I've never been looking forward to wanting to play the 7th game of a World Series in my life, you know? So, we get to go over there with 2 rested starting pitchers.
A couple of veteran right-handers will pitch in Game 6 as Cleveland sends Josh Tomlin to the mound against Chicago's Jake Arrieta. First pitch is tomorrow, and it is at 8:05. The Cincinnati Bengals are returning from London after Sunday's less-than-satisfying 27-27 tie with Washington. The Bengals blew a 20-10 third-quarter lead, and coach Marvin Lewis admits they squandered too many chances to win the game. Even though the draw left his team at 3-4-1 for the season, Lewis believes Cincinnati is still right in the thick of the NFL's postseason hunt.
You don't get to win, but we don't get a loss either. And so we know at the end of the year that pays dividends. We just handle our business. We still handle our business. We're fine.
Andy Dalton passed for 284 yards and a touchdown for the Bengals. He also rushed for another score. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops is feeling pretty good about his Wildcats right now, including Saturday's 35-21 win at Missouri. Stoops' ball club has won 3 straight, thus improving its overall record to 5-3 and its SE mark to 4-2. He says the best thing is that the Cats still haven't reached their full potential.
They take the coaching, they take the criticism. They know we can do so many things better. We did an awful lot of good things today, in all sides. And the beautiful thing is there's still so much more we can do and will do.
The Cats host Georgia this weekend. After a bye week in their schedule, it's back to work for the Morehead State football team as the Eagles start preparing for a Saturday visit to Butler. 2-6 MSU have lost 4 straight, but Coach Rob Tenier hopes his team can still finish the year strong.
You know, it gets difficult when this type of season happens, you know, and you're not being successful. You got 17 seniors, 20 seniors actually, and they're playing their last 3-4 weeks of football, and it's disappointing. And comes back to me as the head coach and our assistant coaches and finding the right pieces and putting our guys out there to be successful, and we're not doing that right now.
Tenier insists that while the Eagles are down, they're not out. He says their morale and work ethic continue to remain good. Duke is the runaway number 1 in the Associated Press preseason college basketball poll. AP correspondent Jim Militello reports.
If that sounds familiar, it's because the Blue Devils have topped the preseason poll 8 times now, second only to North Carolina, which has been a preseason number 1 9 times. Duke returns 3 starters from last season's team and has what's considered one of the top recruiting classes in the nation. Duke received 58 of the 65 first-place votes. Kentucky got 2 number 1 votes and is second. Kansas is third. Defending national champ Villanova picks up 4 first-place votes. They are fourth. Oregon is fifth. The top 10 is rounded out by North Carolina, Xavier, Virginia, Wisconsin, and Arizona. I'm Jim Militello.
After last night's 108-51 exhibition rout of Clarion, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari says he liked much of what his players did in the outing. The Wildcats shot over 61% from the field, out-rebounded their opponent 51-28, and forced them into 26 turnovers. Point guard Isaiah Briscoe had 11 points, 11 assists, and 3 steals, and Calipari says, more importantly, Briscoe is displaying strong leadership skills.
He's coaching these guys. He's talking. If you listen, you hear his voice more than you even hear mine, which is perfect, which is what I want. But it starts with him. But again, he made the 3, makes the free throws. Come on. In that, when you think of his game, if that's who he is, make some 15-footers, he's as good as anybody in the country now. He's a beast.
Sasha Kalea-Jones had 15 points to lead six Wildcats last night in double figures. And finally, the 2016 Kentucky Derby winner heads into the breeding shed. Paul Miles reports.
They're coming to the line together, and Nyquist!
Nyquist has been retired from racing and will join the stallion roster at John Abell Farm in Lexington. Owned by Redham Racing, Nyquist was pulled from next weekend's Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita after developing a puffy ankle during a workout. Nyquist was unbeaten through the Kentucky Derby, but was winless in his next three races. I'm Paul Miles.
That's it for sports. I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball welcomes Eastern Kentucky at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Women's basketball opens their season with an exhibition game hosting Transylvania at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Tickets and information available from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed around break-even after gyrating between slight gains and losses as an investigation into new Hillary Clinton emails kept investors on edge. And the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 18.77 at 18,142.42. The S&P 500 was down 0.26 at 2126.15. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 0.97 at 5189.13. New York Stock Exchange breadth was slightly in favor of winners over losers, so the broader market a little stronger than the major averages. U.S. crude oil was down almost 4%, settling at $46.86 a barrel, as non-OPEC countries have yet to commit to any output limitations. The Commerce Department said that consumer spending, which accounts for about 70% of U.S. economic activity, increased a greater than expected 0.5%, this for the month of September, after a downwardly revised 0.1% drop in August. Other data released today included the Chicago PMI October read, which came in at 50.6, well below the September print of 54.2. The Dallas Fed Manufacturing Survey showed a print of 6.7 for October, below a 16.7 read in September. Gold futures for December delivery fell $3.70 to settle at $1,273.10 an ounce. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Chevron and IBM. Your worst performers were Nike and ExxonMobil. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were DaVita and Lowe's. And your worst performers were Zimmer Biomet Holdings and also CenturyLink. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 20 cents at 111.75, CSX up 23 cents at 30.51, Marathon Petroleum up 76 cents at 43.58, AK Steel down a penny at 5.20, AEP up $1.44 at 64.85, and Valvoline was down 18 cents to finish at 20.41. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at your weather forecast, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. Tuesday will be warm and mostly sunny with highs in the lower 80s. Tuesday night, mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s. Wednesday will be mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 60s. And Thursday will be mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of rain and highs in the upper 60s. Temperatures for the surrounding area, it is currently 64 degrees in Ashland, 67 in Flemingsburg, 68 in Inez, 72 degrees in Lexington, Winchester is sitting at 70 degrees, and it is currently 70 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Network, Tom Latek and Haley Hansen. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.